good singing, you may be seated. If you will, take your Bibles this evening and turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. At the end of the preaching and before we get into the communion this evening, Scott, I'll have you get a couple microphones ready, and we'll take a few testimonies, maybe 5 or 6. I'd like for you, as we're preaching, to be thinking about what we've thought about all year through all of the different preaching series and ways in which God has increased your ability to trust in Him this year. Trials and tests maybe that you've gone through, triumphs, success that God has brought to you. I want you to be thinking that way as we set forward at the beginning of the year our theme, or our focus, here in Proverbs chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Father, help us this evening as we come before you, and we look back at a year. I have no doubt that many here seated would say it was a successful year. God, if we count our success only in the temporal realm, in the fiscal or the financial realm, in the realm of human relationships, then we are missing out wholly on what the Bible teaches. I pray that it's been a year of trust, a year of spiritual growth for each of us. Bless, I pray, all that is said and done in this hour. Help us as we commune together around the table, as we reflect upon all that Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year we've looked at a lot of different preaching topics. What I like to do usually in the last preaching opportunity I get in a calendar year is to kind of go over and review what we preached. I think the Apostle Paul, time and again as he would go about his earthly ministry, would review whether it was writing to those churches that he came to or writing about what he talked to them of when he was in their midst. Paul was very big on keeping things, one, basic, and number two, from that basic stuff, using it as a daily motivator or a remembrance to live their daily life. And so as a pastor, I like to do that as well. We've looked at throughout this year some sermon series. Can anybody name any of the sermon series that we've looked at this year? All right, Marking the Servant. We'll come to that. That's good. Was that an AM or PM service series? In other words, as a pastor teacher, my responsibility is to make sure that you're getting the Bible. All right, so we studied the Gospel of Mark. Was it a Sunday morning or Sunday evening? It was a Sunday morning. Very good, Brother Keith. Oh, Nate's got one. I did not prep them at home. Drew's got one. Oh, my goodness, my kids listen. They do not get paid for listening. What do you got, Nate? Joshua AM. But what was the title of the series, man? Mom just told me. Nice, Mom. Well played, Mom. She doesn't even remember. Drew's sitting over here, so nobody cheated. What was the name of it? Oh, which one was it? Why Do We Wander? Drew liked that one at the beginning of the year. That's the first one we talked about. Why Do We Wander? I think we have that one there. Yes, Scott? That was a study from the book of Numbers, a study of Israel's decisions in departing Egypt. And we noted for ourselves that when we get saved, we depart the world. The world does not stay a part of our lives. In every step, as they departed and left, as they came out, the book of Numbers chronicles their struggle in the wilderness. Their failure, their payment for that failure, and their ultimate success as they come to the end of the book of Numbers and all that went into it. And many Christians find themselves wandering in the wilderness of life because they won't make solid decisions, just like Israel when they left Egypt. If you want to be a successful Christian, stop wandering in the wilderness and get into the promised life. We noted marking God's servant. That's what Brother Keith said. That was the next one that we studied. It was a study of Mark's gospel. It was a recording of Jesus Christ's life, the servant of God. We noted Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, that he came to minister, not to be ministered unto. And we noted that in marking God's servant, there's help for us in living our daily life. We noted the third Sunday morning series throughout the year was the promised life that Jessica cheated and helped my son with, and that was from the book of Joshua. We just finished that one. We noted in that there was claiming, there was conquering, there was a covenant that was there, and then ultimately there was a charge at the end of that. And we put about 13 messages or 14 messages into those four categories of the promised life. Can anybody remember a Sunday evening series? Brother Mike, can you remember a Sunday evening series? Establishing the pattern. Who was it that preached that, Miss Jerry? It was Mike. Yeah. Did you say it was me? It was you? Miss Jerry wrote the sermon. She made it ready, and she got it ready for Brother Mike to preach. It was an excellent series, Miss Jerry, that you wrote for Mike. Yeah, a little translation. That's what I tell people on the way out every Sunday morning. If they liked the message, it was because Jessica probably wrote it. But yes, we looked at establishing the pattern. Brother Mike did a wonderful series. It was an adjunct series. It had started, it kind of had been conjoined from one a couple years before, and then health issues forestalled the completion of it, and it came back together in a beautiful conclusion this year on Sunday evening. So Brother Mike taught a series on Sunday evening. Can anybody remember the other ones that we looked at, or books of the Bible, or topics that we covered? Miss Karen? Well, that was Wednesday. We'll get to Wednesday night in just a minute. Thessalonians. We looked at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, letters to Thessalonica. So the three on Sunday night that we studied were adding up. That was in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we talked about the seven building blocks that we are to add to our faith. In other words, if we're going to add up to anything successful in this Christian life, we have to go and add to our faith. What is the first one? Virtue. Virtue is the idea of complete and total surrender or yieldedness. There is nothing in my life that isn't in God's control. I am virtuous because He's in control of my life. Amen. Over and over and over again, we add one thing to another to another. And the problem for a lot of Christians is they try to jump down the line and add godliness. But you can't add that until you've become totally surrendered. And so we looked in that series at adding up as well. All of these are still fitting within the overall theme or focus, and that's trusting in the Lord. If I'm willing to trust in the Lord, then I'm willing to add things to my life because I consider Him worthy of adding those things. We noted in the summertime, a summer series in the evenings on how God builds. We unceremoniously decided as we continue to grow post-COVID. Now, again, it's the last Sunday night of the year, and a lot of folks are traveling. I thought it was funny. Some people got excited last Sunday for the Cantata Sunday, that Sunday morning of the 19th, and it was a great attendance. We had 243 in church. Praise God! And that's wonderful. That's a blessing, right? That's something to be thankful for. And then I wonder if we looked at the numbers today, how many were there? 163, and praise the Lord for 163. That's why I don't get caught up in numbers, because God brings those that are here and able to be with us into this place to be fed. And as we grow, God will continue to build His church. We noted in that series that how is it that God builds? We noted how God built a nation in Abraham's life. We noted how He built a dwelling or the temple under David and Solomon's combined efforts there. We noted how God builds a community in Nehemiah and building the walls around Jerusalem. And we noted how God builds a church in the book of Acts. Certainly that was a short sermon, and I've preached lengthy on how God builds His church. But on that series, it was to remind us that as we continually grow in population, we grow spiritually, and after we grow spiritually, we grow numerically as a body. That's always been the case here at Bluegrass. And once you're done growing numerically, you will grow financially, and when you're done growing financially, you will get, or I guess conjoined to that, added to that, you will grow physically. There's actual space that you're going to need. But it always starts with and is contingent upon spiritual growth. And so we noted in all of those, there's a process of spiritual growth that is there. And then Brother Mike mentioned letters to Thessalonica. We noted the 1 Thessalonians is the rapture. 2 Thessalonians is the revelation. And we've talked about those. On Wednesday night, Miss Karen loved Revelation. We talked about that. But the first one of the year was in the book of Philippians, joy and rejoicing. We noted the four chapters of Philippians were shining the light, serving with love, sanctified living, and strength that comes from the Lord in those four chapters in joy and rejoicing as a series. Edward then covered a very lengthy period of time on Ezekiel as he looked at that series. He taught a wonderful series on that, and I think still the highest YouTube total. We think a bot got a hold of it. He came in the next day. He goes, "Brother, did you see how many watched that video last night?" I said, "No." "There was like 800 views." I'm like, "Oh, you're the most popular televangelist ever." But I think it was just all your friends and family were watching. But anyway, we still can't. That's an aberration. We can't figure out why. And then we got to the ending point, Miss Karen. That was where we studied the entire book of Revelation. For 13 years, I put off studying the book of Revelation or preaching it because it's so difficult to walk through carefully. And there's so many rabbit trails that everybody wants to run down. But I think we did it fairly as we went through the book of Revelation, specifically from chapters 4 through chapters 22. During the year, we also had Carl Herbster here preaching with us. His son later, Mike Herbster, would be here. Matt Herbster was here, Sarah's daddy. We had our missionary, Matt Goins, down in Honduras. Of course, we had Mike this morning preaching for us. We've had a lot of rewarding times of people standing in this pulpit preaching to us and breaking the bread of life. And it's been a wonderful year. So as we close the year, what I like to do is to revisit what we started looking at and do a little rehearsal. A little review, if we will. Have we done what we said at the beginning of the year we desired to set out to do? We started on January 3rd here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, with trust in the Lord as our focus. I opened the year with this statement, and I'll remind us of it again tonight. Who you are trusting will determine your life. Who you're trusting will determine your life. If you trust yourself, your life will be short and temporal in vision. In other words, it will just see from day to day. It might barely look from generation to generation, but it will not have a vision of the divine. It will not have a long or eternal vision to it. If you are trusting the Lord, you will have a long view of God's working on this earth and your part in it. The reason we have a narcissistic society is because everyone has a trust in themselves. We would cure ourselves of narcissism if we just trusted in the Lord and recognized His grandeur and His majesty. When we begin trusting in the Lord, it really changes how we think about ourselves. So as we come to a time, as we will in a few moments, to remember the Lord's death until He comes, that involves a heavy dose of trusting in the Lord. Leading up to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, a passage we all know so well, we find in verse number 1 that when we are active, in verse 1, not forgetting the law and keeping the commandments, as it says there, we will realize some divine advantages that God has provided for us in verse 2. What are those advantages? There is vitality and peace. Length of days and long life and peace shall they, that is that obedience, that act of obedience to God. What does it then cause in our lives? Verse 3, it causes us to apply both mercy and truth to our every thought and emotion. And this ultimately yields or brings into our lives the positive effect of wisdom or walking with God in verse number 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of both God and who? Man. For we New Testament believers, this wisdom and understanding, this knowledge born from instruction, comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The favor of God is only for those who have received and know the grace of God. That's what favor means. Paul told Titus that the grace of God hath appeared to all men, but not all men have availed themselves of that grace, and all men aren't aware of that grace. I was richly rewarded this morning, Mike, as you preached to us. My boys could not stop talking this afternoon about not just the mice, but the wonderful nature of being a missionary. And I told Jessica, I said, I understand why, number one, your sister has a bit of a hero worship of you in a good way. But also, in my mind, there is a desire for us to be supporting faithful missionaries. And we found another faithful missionary. We knew it, and that's why God has led our paths together. But I'm looking forward to seeing what God continues to do and how we can be a little part in that praying effort. But as we understand it then, there is a process of getting awareness of who Jesus Christ is out to the world. Not all men are aware of his saving grace. And so we find that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the focus is on those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The favor or grace is married to the faith and the trusting. And that life of trusting is both full, free, and I might add, fantastic to live. So we do well to remember a couple things this evening from it. First, the trust we saw in verse 5 is where? In our heart. Isn't that where the devil attacks? What's the old adage? We miss heaven by 18 inches from what we know and what we feel. God starts here. He says, listen, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. A double-minded man surely is unstable in all his ways. I'm going to cough a little bit tonight. Just disregard it. I'm not spreading anything, I promise you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We find or found that the first is that we must trust motivates or masters our emotions. Pardon me. I'm choking up and coughing. This is why Dewey led the singing on Wednesday night. And if you'll pray, I'll pay attention and stay right on task. We find that trusting in our heart is trusting with all of our heart. It masters our emotions. Having the solid rock of God's character and God's conduct as our spiritual bedrock will still our emotions. It settles us. When you get worried, what is it that gets worried? Is it your divine nature or your natural man? It's your natural man. But trust in the Lord is steadied because of our heart. So let me ask you this year, what terrible things have happened this year for you in your home, in your life, in your marriage? We often will say this. In 2020, everyone laughed because I set the focus or the theme for us was seeing God. If you remember back there, it was one of those things that I had prayed about. Excuse me, and I thought, 2020, right? Good vision, seeing God. Well, man, pandemic hits, and you have to see God. There's a whole reality of the mortality and the shortness or the brevity of your own life. This year, we set it as trust in the Lord, and as we've trusted, we've had to master our own emotions. Having the solid rock of God's character and conduct, knowing who He is and knowing how He acts, we might say, will establish and settle our emotions in any situation. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what our finances might have fallen on hard times and look like. It doesn't matter what happens at the workplace. We know that God can steady our emotions. It is with all of our heart, the writer says, Solomon tells us. Whether it's COVID, whether it's controversy, or whether it's any circumstance, there's a way to master our emotions, and it comes back to trusting only and wholly in the Lord. We said, secondly, that trust motivates our actions. Rather than operate in fear, our hope is to motivate our actions by trusting Him. What actions in your life have changed this year? What activities have changed? We're going to see that in just a moment when he talks about our plans. But we set out at the beginning of the year that the trust we have in the Lord will motivate us to action. Well, has it? Visitation and gospel blitzing still happens the first Saturday and the third Saturday of every month. The welcome wagons are still sitting out on the front table. There's still opportunities for many and all to be able to be involved in some capacity of spreading the gospel in our Jerusalem. Has your trust motivated your heart to act? We noted that that is the truth, and that's the way that God has designed it. Hold your place here and turn over to Luke chapter number 6 very quickly. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. By the way, as it pertains to my voice, Jessica has recommended I just don't get excited when I'm preaching, and I just don't know how to do that yet. Mike, have you ever figured out how to do that?
I don't get excited.
Yeah, he doesn't get excited. Just stays calm, cool as a cucumber. Here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. In verse number 39, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? In other words, Jesus is asking, essentially, can the religious leaders who don't know what they're following lead you? This is what he's asking them. And if I have trust in God, not trust in man, but if I have trust in God, then I'm not being led by a blind man. I'm being led by the all-seeing, all-knowing God. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That was the key, and we'll see another point on this in verse 46. But this is the key. If you're corrupt, you're going to bring forth corruption. If you're good, righteous, and holy, if you found favor with God, as Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, then you're going to bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of the bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Who are you trusting? Jesus lays before them. So we find that trust in our heart masters our emotions, and it motivates our actions. Number two, we found that it was trust in our heads. Say, Pastor, are you preaching the exact message? You can go back and watch it, and you go back and read it. No, I'm not preaching the exact message, but I am using the exact outline. It's what review is all about. It's to remind us of what we supposedly already know to be true and are doing. In our heads, we said, number one, it changes our perspective. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Perspective is everything in life, isn't it? My son loves his New Orleans Saints. He's doing his fist like that. Only because of Drew Brees, and his name is Drew. But now he loves his New Orleans, and Dad is trying ever so softly to woo him over, to change his perspective, to become a fan of my beloved Bengals. And if you like the Bengals, you're like me, the 90s were terrible too. Perspective is everything, isn't it? You bring out a team or a ball club or some kind of college or university, and immediately there's a visceral ugh from certain people. I don't know how Shane and I keep our relationship, him being a Steelers fan, and me being a Bengals fan. It's just grace on my part, I guess. The truth of the matter is, in life, everything's perspective. That's why in politics, I don't get too involved. I have beliefs that I hold. But you talk to a politician, their perspective is not their D or their R. Their perspective is the almighty dollar. Or power or influence. Now, it's not to say all of them are evil or all of them are bad, but you talk to most of them, a vast majority of them, and the lobbyists have their ear more than the voters have their ear. So perspective is everything in life. And what Solomon tells us here is that, look, once we've understood that the trust is first in our heart and it masters our emotions and then motivates us to act, there has to also be a trust in our head. We've got to know the facts. If you lean to your own understanding, you are in trouble. There's a lot of people that will say, well, this is how I've always known it. This is just how I know to do it. This is just how I've always been. Well, that's your own understanding. And Solomon says, listen, don't trust in your own. Don't lean that way. Change your bent, we might say. Knowing God and knowing more about God ought to have a divine effect on our outlook on life. Solomon has told us. The other thing we noted in that was that it changes our plans. It doesn't just change our perspectives as we trust in our heads. It changes our plans. And that's the a serious point of conversation this evening. He says, in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. What do most of us do? And I hope this hasn't been true this year. This was our point throughout the course of the preaching. Why do we wander? We wander because we're not acknowledging God in our ways. Why is it we don't live the promised life as we should? It's because we're not acknowledging God. You say, Pastor, all of these messages were tied to that. I try. My job is to feed you. My job is to prepare you Sunday after Sunday, week after week, throughout the course of a year, not to just give you handouts to take home and to draw pictures on, as my kids do sometimes. It's not just to do that. It's to feed you and prepare you. And so we understood that trusting in our head means there's a God that I now know, and he wants me to think differently. He wants me to change some of my plans. When was the last time your plans changed for God or because of God? Oof. Well, I mean, I ask God to change his plans a lot. Yeah, I know that. I get it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. A lot of times we read that verse, God, I want you to acknowledge what I'm doing and that it's okay. And that's not how that verse reads. In all thy ways, in the plans that you're making, the paths that you're traveling, in those paths, acknowledge that they're going the right direction. When we go on vacation, there is one person in the car that always knows which way we're going. Jessica's smiling. It's me! My father worked on the interstate highway system for almost 40 years. I know every interstate in this country and where they go because as a kid I grew up knowing those things. It's weird. It's one of those weird truths about your pastor you now know. I can tell you the even ones go east and west and the odd ones goes north and south. I can tell you that they start on the west coast and come to the east coast from their numbering. And they start from the bottom and go to the north in their numbering. I can tell you everything about them. Why? Because I know which path gets me to where I want to go when I get on an interstate system. There's a lot of Christians that are walking through life blindly, not acknowledging God at all, and just hoping that they get to a desirable destination. Why would you do that? Who would want to live that way? Solomon says, look, just acknowledge him. How has God purposefully and pointedly affected change in your life this year? Well, by the way, sometimes God has to do this. Hit us right on top of the head. He has to remind us of his ways. Our ways, in every way, should acknowledge God and our Savior Jesus Christ first and foremost. Well, we concluded the series, or the sermon, I should say, back on January 3rd, with trust with our hands. He says in the end of verse number 6, and he shall direct thy path. Once there is trust in our hearts and in our heads, there is a trust that we prove with our hands. As he goes out directing our paths, we are expected to do what? Walk it. Jessica and I are not hikers. We've talked to many of you in the church that love to hike, and God bless you for that. It's a wonderful thing, and it's probably very healthy for you, right? We try to find other ways to be healthy, but we are not hikers. But I can tell you this, from the two times in my life that I decided to be a hiker when we hiked the Grand Canyon. And hiking the Grand Canyon, you will never get from the north rim of the Grand Canyon to the south rim of the Grand Canyon if you do not start on the path. By the way, you will not get to from the north to the south rim of the Grand Canyon if you do not stay on the path. There are some parts of that path that are very far in the precipitous fall over the one side. 5,000-8,000 foot drop on the left side of the path. If you step off the path, you are in trouble. You're toast. And sometimes we don't see the walk that we're on as a walk that we're on. And what Solomon tells us here and what we set our minds to and what I hope we don't lose as we reflect on 2021 is that as we are going along, we have to be actually walking those paths. He shall direct thy paths. We noted there in the original sermon that in Psalm 100, the Bible tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, as we go and move about this life, this book is essential to being successful. It's absolutely necessary. We noted two quick things and we're done. We'll go to testimonies this evening. We said that when we trust with our hands, that trust engages our sanctification. Verses 7 and 8 are not just randomly placed, they're purposely intended. Excuse me. In this particular passage, he says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." What 7 and 8 show us is the one who is trusting in the Lord, what does the process of sanctification look like? It's found in Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. The process of sanctification is right there. First, get a proper view of yourself. Be not wise in your own eyes. That's good advice. Nobody likes a know-it-all. And I can tell you as a pastor, there's no such thing as a Christian know-it-all. There's a source for it all, but you and I are ever learning that source material and in wisdom learning to apply it to our lives and to others. Get a proper view of yourself. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Then the second one is reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. The third step is depart from or hate evil, as he says in verse number 7. The resulting sanctification is it, the result, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That is, let the process of God's work in your life, as you get a proper view of yourself, you get a proper view of who God is, and you begin to hate evil like he does, just watch God change you. Amen. Well, what do I need to get rid of next, Pastor? Do you have a proper view of yourself? Do you have a proper view of God? And do you hate evil like he does? Then I won't need to tell you what you need to change. I can if you want me to. I mean, I can lick my finger and stick it on this spot or this spot and this spot in your life. But if you really are walking with God in that way, that's the process of sanctification right there. It is this process of sanctification that we are to pursue throughout our lives. This is where the truest trust in the Lord happens. Humans can be scared into salvation or trust God to save them in a moment on emotion. And it can be real. But every person who comes to faith in Jesus Christ, however they first came, all must follow this process of sanctification. Get a proper view of themselves. The emotional person that gets saved at a rock concert, supposedly. Who am I to argue? But the proof is in the pudding. Are you following the process of sanctification and changing who you are? Because if you're not, then there's no salvation that's ever occurred. And that's how it's a very quick litmus test of all of these things. The final thing that we said was trust employs our substance in verses 9 and 10. It isn't just engaging our sanctification. It actually employs our substance. And we often look at verses 9 and 10 as great stewardship verses, and they are. Let's not parse the words here. Let's make sure we're clear on the Word of God. They are good stewardship verses. But simply put, the substance that God wants us to honor him with in verse number 9 is the substance of who we are, not just the substance of the things we have. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Trust in the Lord employs all that God has given to us, our treasure, our talents, even our time. So how have you done this year? As we review, trust in the Lord means we trust everything we are over to the Lord and allow him to use us for his glory and for the good of our fellow man. That is the desire in trusting him. So let me pause and take a few testimonies tonight. Scott, do you have a microphone, a couple microphones back there? Jason will help you here in the middle. I'd like to have four or five folks give testimony. Here's the rules on testimonies. I'm always hesitant to do this. Number one, you cannot promote a man or men or women. You might say, I'm thankful for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but the glory always goes to whom? Right? So if we're trusting the Lord, and specifically tonight, if we can think of things that God has increased our trust in, ways in which incidents or difficulties, maybe health, maybe finances, or whatever, where you've had to exercise trust in God? Anybody have a testimony? Brother Mike has one down here.
I've got a testimony with some chapters to it. I thank the Lord for the way he takes us through the trials and then does something that we can see after we've gone through the trial that has been beneficial to us. Just about a year ago, I was in the hospital for 5 days and had a pretty close brush with the end of my life. And God was good to us. I really appreciated the church family and the way that they pulled together praying for me. A couple months later, I lost my younger brother, and that was very difficult, but I have the hope of seeing him in heaven, partially because of my wife's witness to him when he was going through a tough time. And then later that spring, last spring, the effect of my service in Vietnam took the feeling away from my legs below my knees and loss of balance. And through that, I've really, it's really helped me to look back at some of the things that are really important in my life and some of what God has done as I've gone through some of those trials. And then with another knee surgery replacement and the long process of healing and the patience of going through the therapy, which was the worst part of it.
Yeah.
And through all these things, the Lord has obviously kept us, provided for us, and I can just tell you he's drawn me a lot closer, I think, to him. You know, I love to get in his word pretty much the first opportunity in the morning. So it's been a good year for that.
Great. Any other testimonies? Abigail?
Something I was able to really focus on this semester was just walking forward in faith. I had a really difficult semester academically, just nursing classes were really difficult, kind of took me by surprise. And I just kind of learned, even with different situations with friends and relationships, just that if you move forward in faith and you just know at the end of it God's working a plan and that you're playing a role in that, and if you're able to see that, you can be diligent in it and joyful in it, and that he brings it to pass. So it was really cool getting to see that and grow in that now, and I'm still learning it, and you still have to let go of your pride. But it's been really cool to see.
Amen. All right. Any other testimonies tonight? A couple more. Ways in which God has shown that you can trust in him, bringing you through difficulty. Right down here, Nick.
We bought our house this year at the very beginning, and everything went wrong. My debit card got ate by the ATM. We couldn't pull out the cash we needed. And so I was sitting in the drive-thru at the bank, and I wrote a check to myself. It's like, hey, I need to cash this. And they're like, it'll be a 7-day wait. I'm like, well, I need it tomorrow. So I looked up and was like, God, it's on you. And they're like, well, here's your money.
Wow.
Right there in the parking lot. So I fully turned over my finances and everything.
Got serious about it, huh?
Yep.
All right. Good. Somebody else have a testimony tonight? Trust in the Lord. Anything good? Jason, go ahead.
God didn't give me any money, Nick. he gave me everything else I have in my life.
Amen.
Just through the year, it's been very trying being in a corporate situation. And I know some of you in here, we've spoken about some of the decisions you've had to make this year and some of the things you've had to go through being in a corporate position, especially being in a leadership position, can be difficult. And so there were times this year when Jolie and I had some serious conversations about where we were going with my job and what was going on in our life. And, you know, it just was very comforting to be able to turn that over and just say, you know, God, we're, similar to what Abigail said, you know, we'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah.
And we'll go through the doors that are open right now and let you bless us as we go through them. And if the doors get shut, then we'll look for the window or the door you open on the other side.
Yeah.
So it's just a big blessing to be in our church and hear encouragement from each one of the men and the families that are around us.
Amen. All right, let's have one more tonight before we go to prayer. Go ahead, Brian.
It's been a year of moving for me, so some of what I've seen this year just reminded me of the passage, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing towards the mark. And I'm so thankful that I do have a forgetting of those things that which were behind. Some of the old life that kind of came back up when I was going through things from the house, because we tried to go through things, throw away a lot of stuff. And just seeing that stuff, I was just thankful that it's I have forgotten most of the old life. I'm thankful from where I've been brought.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how that he's made all things new, and how that I've just trusted in him as the theme for the year, and just how that I have completely forgotten that old stuff, and I'm just so thankful for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful to me.
Amen.
Looking forward to getting in a new house, too. So.
Couple weeks, right?
Couple months.
Oh, a couple months.
February 28th, that's the day.
Right. Praise the Lord for that. Well, let's have, Melanie, if you'll come back up, we'll take a time and pray. Perhaps over the next few minutes, what we'll do is just pray and say, Lord, have I trusted in you this year? And then how in the new year can I plan to trust in you in such a way? Let's take some time to pray this evening.